Among the key election battleground states, some are getting more attention than others.
A lot of eyes will be on Pennsylvania, and a lot of resources and time will be going into the state in the next week and a half before the election.
We'll have more on why taking Pennsylvania is critical for both presidential candidates. And daily coronavirus cases are spiking in a number of states. Plus, after initially punting on fall football, the Big Ten kicks off tonight. It's Friday, October 23rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The U.S. recorded its highest single-day coronavirus case count since July on Thursday. More than 71,000 cases were reported across the country, according to Johns Hopkins University. For six states, Colorado, Indiana, Montana, Oklahoma, and Utah, it was their highest daily total to date. Hospitalizations are also up, but health experts say factors including earlier detection and younger people contracting the virus has resulted in a lower death rate than earlier in the pandemic. That said, the death rate can lag behind a surge in cases by several weeks. Israel and Sudan have agreed to normalize ties in a U.S.-brokered deal aimed at ending decades of hostility among the nations. This comes after Washington agreed to remove Sudan from a list of countries it considers state sponsors of terrorism. The agreement was announced in the Oval Office by President Trump.
Today's peace agreement will enhance Israel's security and end Sudan's long isolation from the world because of what was taking place. It will unlock new opportunities for trade and commerce, education and research and cooperation and friendship for both peoples.
Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas condemned the deal, but U.S. and Israeli officials say they expect several other Muslim and Arab nations to join a broader diplomatic realignment in the Middle East. We report exclusively that AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford have been cleared by federal regulators to restart their coronavirus vaccine trial in the U.S. The U.S. trial was put on hold while the Food and Drug Administration reviewed two cases of a possible neurological side effect. The FDA didn't find the vaccine was responsible for the two cases, but also could not rule out a link, according to a person familiar with the matter. The vaccine is among several in late-stage testing. Coming up after the break, why Pennsylvania is key in the presidential race. In the past, Pennsylvania has often been key in presidential elections. It's got a broad mix of demographics, with big cities, rural areas, and suburban voters in between. It's also got 20 electoral votes, the sixth highest of all the states. President Trump narrowly won Pennsylvania in 2016, and the state is shaping up to be an even harder-fought battleground this time around. We turn now to our national political reporter, John McCormick. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, John, Pennsylvania is uniquely positioned even among the battleground states in terms of the impact of the coronavirus pandemic and the subsequent economic fallout. What can you tell us?
Yeah, well, we did a data analysis looking at the unemployment compared to a year earlier and also the deaths per capita for every county in America. What we found when we did that analysis was that Pennsylvania, among the battleground states, has the largest proportion of counties that fall into both of those unfortunate pockets. It has a lot of counties that have unemployment rates that are in double digits, much higher than a year ago because of the pandemic. And it also has a good number of counties that have deaths per capita rates that are in the top 20% of all U.S. counties. So we looked at both of these benchmarks to try to get a sense for, you know, which battleground state is sort of suffering the most pain right now related to the pandemic. And Pennsylvania really stands out in those rankings.
Let's dig into some specific counties. You call Bucks County in suburban Philadelphia a battleground within a battleground. Tell us more about that. What's happening there?
Yeah, so the unemployment rate in Bucks County, which is just outside of Philadelphia, it's 9.7%. And that's more than double what it was a year ago. And we used year-ago figures because there's a seasonality to unemployment rates. And so we looked at what was the unemployment rate a year ago for the same month and then compared it to that month this year. And Bucks is a county that Democrats and Republicans have fought over very closely in recent elections. Hillary Clinton won it by 0.8%. It was something like, 3,000 or 4,000 votes in a county that is home to about 628,000 people. And so it is a place that gets a lot of attention every presidential election cycle. It has an area called Lower Bucks, which is in the southern end of the county, and is a little grittier, more industrial, and certainly more densely populated. And there's a lot of white working class voters in that area who, you know, really rallied around Donald Trump in 2016. And his campaign, of course, hopes that they'll rally around him again in this presidential election. So it's a big county. It's a complex county. It has a real wide spread in terms of sort of socioeconomics, and will be intensely fought over. By the way, former Vice President Joe Biden will be going there on Saturday. We all know he hasn't been doing a lot of on-the-ground campaigning this summer and fall, but he's starting to do more of it. And one of his stops this weekend will be in Bucks County, so that indicates its importance.
You anticipated my next question. How are the dynamics you just described influencing how President Trump and Joe Biden are approaching Pennsylvania, especially in the final days of this election? And how does that compare to what we saw in the candidates' approach to Pennsylvania in 2016?
Yeah, well, 2016, there was a lot of emphasis on Pennsylvania as well. Hillary Clinton held her national political convention in the summer in Philadelphia, so that was an indication of how important the state was back then as well. Of course, President Trump won the state very narrowly, sort of as part of his, northern Great Lakes trifecta of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin that really sealed the presidency for him. And so it's important again this time. Joe Biden's headquarters is in, his campaign headquarters is in Philadelphia. And when you look at the television reservations that are in place for both campaigns between now and the election, Pennsylvania, on a dollars per electoral vote basis, in other words, if you look at all the advertising spending that's going to be going on in Pennsylvania in the next week and a half, if you then divide by how many electoral votes each state has and sort of do the math on that, Pennsylvania ranks right at the top, especially for Joe Biden in terms of places where he's going to put a lot of dollars on television screens in the coming days.
So, John, given everything we've just talked about, just how key is Pennsylvania going to be in this election?
It's arguably the most important battleground state. Now, obviously, Florida is also very important, 27 electoral votes. But Pennsylvania has 20, and it's sort of viewed as critical for both of these candidates. Former Vice President Joe Biden is from Pennsylvania. You know, if he can't win the state that he was born in, that does have a lot of sort of, you know, working class voters that he's trying to appeal to, that could be pretty telling in terms of what happens on election night. So it'll be very much watched. You know, some of the outside groups that are trying to influence the presidential race, they sort of describe Pennsylvania as this, you know, camel's back. They feel like if Trump can't win Pennsylvania, then there's really probably no path for him. It's always dangerous to say those sort of things because, you know, like anything, there can be surprises, and different combinations of these states can add up to the 270 that you need to win. But certainly a lot of eyes will be on Pennsylvania, and a lot of resources and time will be going into the state in the next week and a half before the election.
Wall Street Journal national political reporter John McCormick. John, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Big Ten football is finally kicking off its season when Wisconsin hosts Illinois tonight. The conference initially called off the season because of the pandemic. That sparked criticism from teams, parents, and even President Trump. Now they're resuming play, despite a surge in new coronavirus cases in many of the Midwestern states with Big Ten universities. Here's our sports reporter, Lane Higgins.
One of the big reasons why they were so motivated to get athletes a chance to play was that, you know, the pandemic in the first place wasn't these athletes' faults, and they're the ones that have the most to lose by having their seasons taken away, especially for some of these athletes that, you know, their future either in the NFL or elsewhere does depend on their results on the field this season. And they didn't want to penalize the athletes for these extraordinary circumstances. But at the same time, you have to ask the bigger question, you know, is it worth it to be playing sports? And I think the Big Ten athletes made it very clear through some grassroots organization over the course of August and September that they do want to play, the vast majority. And based on NCAA rules, they were given the choice to opt out if they did not want to play and their scholarship would still be honored. But, you know, if you look at the vast majority of students, they didn't opt out. So I think that's pretty telling that these athletes are all in.
Lane says the conference has set up strict safety measures it hopes will keep the team safe and the shortened season on track. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. The show was produced this week with help from Paolo Bossanin, Mark Garrison, Kateri Yoakum, Amanda Llewellyn, Trine Nori, Charlie Turner, Sam Westren, and J.R. Whalen. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.